All right. We're in the book of James again, our second week in the book of James. We've entitled the series, Walking Out Your Faith. And you know, we live in a day, and I'm sure that people thought this way 100 years ago and probably thought this way 200 years ago and will think this way 100 years from now if the Lord tarries. But we live in a day that's consumed with knowledge, head knowledge. Think about it. We travel faster today than we ever have. We travel further now than we ever have. We travel higher in the sky than we ever have, right? Than any generation in history. We're moving and we're growing as people. And that knowledge explosion does not necessarily mean that people are getting wiser. Amen? Right, Joan? You know, a PhD can have, or you can have a PhD from Harvard or Yale and still have no wisdom. You don't have to be wise. Listen to a lot of the educators on TV and the internet, and you'll learn very quickly that knowledge doesn't mean wisdom. Amen? You can be a renowned expert in your field and not be wise. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is not education. Wisdom is not possessing a bunch of information. You know, I'll give you an example. We all know the name Albert Einstein, a very knowledgeable, intellectual man, probably one of the greatest intellects this world has ever known. When he died, I don't know if you know this, they took out his brain, and they looked at it, and they studied it. They were trying to figure out what made him so smart over other people. And so there's no question, probably for any of us, that he was a wise man. We know he was. But at a conference attended by churchmen and scientists, he said this. He said, in people's struggle for the ethical good, teachers of religion must have the stature to give up the doctrine of a personal God. He may have been smart, but he sure wasn't wise. Amen? And so it just goes to show you that when it comes to knowledge, for him to make that statement, again, he was a wise man, but he suffered from a lack of wisdom. One educator in the 19th century said this, education without instruction in religious and moral principles were merely result in a race of clever devils. Without wisdom and morals, yes, we'll be smart, but we'll still not be right with God. And so we know, again, wisdom is not knowledge, wisdom is not education, wisdom is not learning things. So what is wisdom? I want to give you this definition. I'm going to put it on the screen, and I'll read it a couple times. That I believe is one of the greatest definitions of wisdom. It says, wisdom is the God-given insight into our human circumstances and situations that enables man to see God's will. It is the God-given insight in our human circumstances and situations that enables man to see God's will. And you could leave that up for a moment, Alex. In other words, wisdom is seeing from God's point of view. Most of us have lived our life living from our point of view, but wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. And so last week, as we looked at the beginning of James, we looked at how we are to react and how we're to respond to the trials that we have in life. And now tonight, James is going to go on to tell us that when we are faced with trials, one of the first things that we should do is ask God for wisdom. I love this. And let's remember the verses that we looked at last week in James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And as we go to tonight's verses, James understands that making a choice, and that's what we talked about last week, to rejoice in trials is probably a tall order for us as believers. Especially if we're in the middle of a circumstance that's difficult. It's a tall order for us to rejoice in that. And so he connects the solution tonight. And to the end of this goal of spiritual maturity, he's talking about lacking nothing. And then we go to verse 5 through 8 of chapter 1. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so James opens verse 5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Clearly, the lack of something here is, or what's missing, is the wisdom to know how, or to have the know-how to rejoice in a trial. He's just talking about rejoicing when we have various trials. Then he says, if you lack wisdom, if you don't know how to rejoice in a trial, you ask God. He's talking about still rejoicing in those trials. And we know that rejoicing can be difficult. It's obviously not our native skill. It's not our native trait for a human when things are difficult to rejoice. It requires us to obtain God's wisdom. And so this passage that we're looking at tonight connects with what we looked at last week, which again talks about rejoicing in those trials. And again, in order for us to choose a perspective that is true, a necessary component of that is understanding and having God's wisdom. Because it's not logical. We talked about that last week. I'm going through a hard time. I'm going to rejoice. Doesn't make sense. We need the wisdom of God to understand what that rejoicing does for us. And so when James is talking about wisdom here, he's talking about seeing our trials, looking at our trials, and we talked about this last week, looking at our trials from God's point of view instead of from our gloom and doom point of view. Looking at our trials from God's point of view, evaluating our trials from his perspective, not from our viewpoint. So the wisdom that we're talking about tonight is insight that leads us then to make good decisions. It begins by us seeing, again, God's perspective, which is the true perspective. Our perspectives are warped. Our perspectives are skewed. It's the true perspective through the lens of faith. And this direction applies to all of us who find ourselves, lacking the ability to do what James has instructed, which is to rejoice in difficult circumstances or rejoice in our trials. It doesn't make sense. So we need the wisdom of God to do that. And so the solution is if we lack wisdom, we ask God, Scripture says. It says is to let him ask God. And then later it says who gives to all generously without reproach. So the solutions for us as a believer, is to constantly go to the God who provides the wisdom. Go to the Creator of wisdom. And he will show us how to apply a rejoicing spirit against difficulties, which we will see results in our maturity. So understanding this, I want to look at this passage and I want to show you three types of wisdom which James is outlining for us. First of all, we see wisdom that's required. As humans, even as believers at times, if we're not looking for and we're not focusing on the wisdom of God, what we end up doing is settling for the wisdom that's from us or the wisdom that's about us. If I'm not looking to God for wisdom, if I'm not looking to God for wisdom, I will become content with the wisdom that I make up in my own mind or the world makes up around me. God's wisdom is required in all of our lives. And James says that we require wisdom for two reasons. First, there is a lack of wisdom. Amen? If we go back to verse 5 again, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom. The word lacks, right? We know what that means. It speaks of a deficiency, something that's absent, something that's missing. So if you lack money in your checking account, you need money, right, in your checking account. If you lack food in your house, you need food. So if we lack wisdom, there's wisdom that's missing or absent at that moment. In this case, it is speaking about the absence of wisdom, and it's very obvious that James views the absence of wisdom as a very serious matter. And let's talk about why that is. And again, as we looked last week in our study, trials, remember, always have a divine purpose in our lives. They may not make sense to us, we may be shaking our head, we may be going, why? But God has a plan for those trials. Wisdom, in turn, enables us to look at those trials with some understanding that our trials do have a rhyme and our trials do have a reason. It may not make sense to us today, but there is a reason for those trials. Wisdom equips us to face then those trials and enables us to trust God with the purpose and the end result of those trials. So God allows things to happen in our life, difficulties to come, whatever it may be, and wisdom says, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that the purpose and the end result of this trial is in your hand. And so when we face trials, it's important for us to know how to cope with those trials. The only way, believe me tonight when I say this, I'm experienced. You are all experienced as well. The only way that we'll be able to understand trials and respond to them properly is to go to God and say, show me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom. He is the only one that can make that clear in our minds. Once we understand that, we can then see why it's important that we have that wisdom when we're going through the trials. If I cannot or if I do not see trials as having a divine purpose in my life, my trials will make me bitter. My trials will make me impatient. My trials will make me angry. My trials will leave me frustrated. My trials will leave me discouraged. And my trials will leave me complaining. And that's not the fruit of the Spirit, is it? On the other hand, wisdom allows us to understand that our trials are working on our behalf and for our benefit. In a nutshell, remember, James says trials will come. Not if they come, when they come, right? Therefore, we need to pray for more than help, right? We need to pray for God's wisdom so we can see those trials from a divine perspective and be able to face them. And so James reminds us that the lack of wisdom, but he also reminds us that we need to be longing for wisdom. So he continues in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. That word ask, if I say, what does ask mean? That means you're going to tell me it means that you're coming to me for something. You're asking for water. You're asking for food. And yes, it does. It means that. It means it's a common word for asking. But in the Greek here, it means more than asking. It carries this idea of desiring or craving or begging. So it's different if I ask you for spinach versus I ask you for chocolate, right? When I ask you for chocolate, I'm craving that chocolate. I'm desiring that chocolate. I'm begging for that chocolate. When I'm asking for spinach, I'm just like, oh, I just want some spinach, right? So when James is saying, let him ask God, it's this hunger, desire, this I have to have the wisdom of God. It's more than just thinking, I want my spinach. No, I want the chocolate, right? I want it all. So James is telling us that our asking for wisdom comes from a longing for wisdom. We have a deep desire in our soul for that wisdom. When we face the trials of life, we should ask God for wisdom. We should ask with a deep desire, not just a flippant, okay, God, I just need some wisdom. See you later, right? It should be that driving, desiring, yearning for God's wisdom to understand and face our trials. You know, many people will ask things like, why do I need wisdom? Why do I need God's wisdom? I can think of all these other things that could help me get through this trial, right? I can just go grab the booze bottle. I can go get the drugs. I can go do this. That'll help me get through this. That's not true, right? The psalmist declares in Psalm 110, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. We also read in Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 15. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For wisdom's proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Wisdom's proceeds, or wisdom's gain is finer than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with wisdom. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 16 and 18, I said, wisdom is better than strength. Verse 18, wisdom is better than the weapons of war. And so why do we need to ask God for wisdom to face our trials? Because wisdom is better than silver. Wisdom is better than gold. Wisdom is better than rubies. And when we're facing trials, we're in a very real battle in our life, usually. So wisdom is better than strength, and wisdom is better than weapons of war. And so oftentimes in the midst of our trials, we make decisions based on how we feel. I'm scared, I'm lonely, I'm hungry, I'm upset. And we make decisions based on what we see. Something is missing, so I'm going to try to fix it with my strength. But when decisions are made based on those things that we see and things that we feel in the flesh, more often than not, we're going to make the wrong decision. We're going to go off the flesh, we're going to go off the eyes. So when we pray and ask God for wisdom, he'll help us see things from his divine vantage point and his perspective. He'll show us what's happening in our life and why it's happening. Wisdom, again, helps us to become better and not bitter. So wisdom is required. Third, he not only speaks of it being, secondly, I mean wisdom that's received. So first it's required, secondly it's received. In the definition of wisdom I gave you earlier, I said that wisdom is God-given insight, insight that comes from God. That wisdom does not come from you. It does not come from me. It doesn't come from any human. It doesn't come from any earthly resource. That wisdom can only come from God. Amen? And so James says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If you lack wisdom, what do? Ask God, right? You can't get that wisdom from reading a book outside of Scripture, right? You can't get that wisdom from going to school. You can't get that wisdom from going and seeing a counselor. That wisdom will only come from God. If you lack wisdom to be able to have joy, to get through your trials, that wisdom only comes from God. If you're going through a trial tonight, or have been going through a trial, you need wisdom, and you need the wisdom that comes from God. Amen? How do we get that wisdom? James tells us, if you lack wisdom, ask God, right? James says that when we request wisdom, God will give us that wisdom. Knowing that this kind of wisdom comes from God and God alone, I want to show you how he gives us that wisdom, how that wisdom is received. Let's continue in verse 5 of James chapter 1. If you lack wisdom, let him ask, desire, crave wisdom from God, who gives to all what? Liberally. The word liberally speaks of bountifulness, abundance, generous giving. So if I ask you for chocolate, Victor, and you give me chocolate liberally, you're going to give me way more chocolate than I am craving, right? That's what liberal means. So it's an abundance. It means to stretch out in the Greek. In other words, it's a picture of God, in a sense, stretching out or spreading out a table before us. God is not stingy with his gifts, is he? He's bountiful. He's liberal. He gives us as he gives his gifts to us, and wisdom is one of those gifts. So if we're facing or going through a trial, James says that you need wisdom, and if you ask for that wisdom, he says that God will give you all the wisdom that you need and more. And so we not only learn that God gives generously, we look and we see that he gives graciously. He reminds us that the God we serve, again, is not gracious only, but he's also, or generous only, he's also gracious. Let's look at verse 5 again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. I want to show you that verse in the King James Version. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. There's a weird word that we're not familiar with, upbraideth. He says that when we come to God and ask for wisdom, he not only gives it liberally, but he upbraideth not. And the word upbraideth literally means to scold or to rail, right? And it has this picture of casting teeth into us. So if I go ask Katie for chocolate, she's going to upbraideth me. She's going to cast her teeth out at me. She's going to scold me. Why do you always ask me for chocolate? I'm not giving you the chocolate, right? And so that's where that word in the New King James, without reproach. So in other words, when we realize our need for wisdom, we're going through a trial, we're struggling to find joy to get through that trial, we recognize that we lack wisdom. So we go ask God with our request for wisdom. We don't have to worry about God responding like Katie does when I ask her for chocolate, right? He won't scold us, will he? I know Katie would give me all the chocolate I'd want and more. So she'd give it liberally. And the New King James Version says that God gives that wisdom liberally without reproach. It's not a case when we come to God and ask for wisdom and God says, oh, it's you again. You were just here yesterday asking for the same thing. Why did you come back today? He gives that without reproach. Glory to God that we can come to him as many times as necessary and never have to worry about him becoming tired of our requests. I know that God probably, I'm probably one that knocks on his door a lot. God, I need this from you today. And then later, did I get that? God, I need this from you today. And later, God, I need you from the, you know, he's not trying to send me away. You know, I think about, I'll get real with you in a moment. There's probably people that we just hate running into in life. You just know, man, if I run into Michael, that Michael's going to give me all of his problems, all of his ailments, and all these worries. And every time I run into Michael, all he does is just dump on me. And so if Michael's going to go to Festival Foods, I'm going to Hy-Vee because I'm not going to run into Michael, right? And so we run from people because we just don't want to deal with that, whatever it may be. But again, thank God that he never tires of us coming to him. I'm sure that year after year and day after day, if I were God, I'd be going, Russ, you whine too much. And Russ, you complain too much. And you're always asking. And you're always, no, that's not our God. Amen? He welcomes us with open arms. And he gives us the wisdom that we need graciously and generously. And he also gives us it genuinely. Let's continue, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What that tells us, again, if we're in the midst of a trial and we come to God and we ask for wisdom, he not only gives it to us graciously and generously, he's genuine with that gift. God gives us what we need every single time. Thank God it will be given to me when I seek God's wisdom. Amen? You know, one of the greatest examples of this is in the Old Testament with King Solomon. And he was one of the wealthiest, wisest men who ever lived, though I'm not sure how you could be wise and have 300 mother-in-laws. I love my single mother-in-law, but I couldn't have 300. But one night, God gave Solomon one wish, and God gave Solomon a blank check. And he could ask God for anything he desired. And what he asked for was in 1 Kings 3:9, and he declares his wish in a sense. He says, therefore, give to your servant an understanding, heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who's able to judge the great people of yours? In other words, Solomon chose and asked God for wisdom above anything else. And as you learn about Solomon, God gave Solomon that wisdom. And James is telling us the same thing. James is telling us here in James chapter 1, as we see our need, as we ask God for wisdom to handle the trials in life, God will give us that wisdom. He'll give it to us graciously, he'll give it to us generously, and he'll be genuine when he gives it to us. I love the fact I can trust that God is not disgusted with my request for help. Amen? Our generous Father does not reproach us or scold us because we ask for help. He's not disappointed because we ask for his help in the moment of need. That tells us that God is for us and not against us. Every believer that's here, every believer that's online tonight, you are a child of God. Amen? He wants his children to have victory in their lives. And every child is fully accepted as a child, but God granted each of us our free will, right, to make our own choices. God desires that we make good choices that lead to great benefit. I love the fact it doesn't matter the time of day, it doesn't matter how big the problem, how small the problem, he's always standing by wanting to show us the very best way to get through that. Wisdom is required. Wisdom is received. And finally, I call your attention to wisdom that is refused. James says that wisdom is received by those, again, who ask God for it. But he gives us some conditions here in a couple of verses of asking God for that wisdom. And it's really how we look at our heart. And I'll explain this as best as I can. And if we don't ask God for that wisdom with the correct heart, it will be refused. He goes on to outline the person to whom wisdom from God is refused. First, it's refused to the unbelieving man. In James 1:6, he tells us, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So picture the waves of the sea up and down, right? They're tossed up and down by the wind. If we lack faith, it leaves us hot one day, and it leaves us cold the next day. If we lack faith, we're up one day, and we're down the next day. Do you see the picture? If we lack faith, we're in one day, and we're out the next day. We are to pray in faith, which simply means that when we pray, we have to believe that God will give the wisdom that we're asking for. So wisdom is refused to the unbelieving man, but it's also refused to the uncertain man. In verse 8, James describes this uncertain man. He says, he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And I want to spend a few moments on the word double-minded, because there's some depth here. The word double-minded literally means here to have two hearts. Two hearts. And this will make sense. It's a man that suffers from a divided heart. There's a part of me that says, I believe, and a part of me that says, I don't believe. There's a part of me that says, God, I'm asking, hoping you'll give to me. God, you know, I don't know why I'm asking, because I don't think you're going to give to me. The person who's double-minded just vacillates back and forth, back and forth. I'm sure we've all been there. And James says such a person is unstable in all his ways. Again, he's up and he's down like the waves of the sea. One day I believe, one day I don't believe. One day I trust God with all my heart, the next day I'm trying to solve my own problems on my own. And that's a person who wants the best of both worlds. He wants to trust God, but I can't turn from trying to fix my problems myself. I want to trust God, but I can't turn from my desires. I want to trust God, but I can't turn from my decisions. I want to live for God on Sunday, but Monday I want to live however I want. And as a result, he's uncertain, and Scripture says he's unstable in all of his ways. And again, we can come to God with confidence in asking for wisdom, to understand how to rejoice in difficulties. And again, we see the promise comes with some qualifications, and James is offering a couple scenarios here. The first is that we have a lack sometimes of the ability to rejoice in difficulty. It's difficult in the flesh. And it's solved by God answering that prayer by us asking for wisdom. But the second problem is having the faith then to believe that God will give us the wisdom. So it's more than just saying, okay, I can't get through this trial. I need to ask God for wisdom, so I go ask. James says that we need to believe and have faith that God will answer that. So that requires an action on our part. And again, the human qualification for this is answered prayers for wisdom in suffering is that we must ask in faith. And so James tells us that believing God will answer, but he says believe without doubting. And he explains that doubting, again, is this function of being double-minded. And I want to show you a little bit about a double-minded person and to show you the nature of a double-minded person. And so James again says that he's like that man or like the waves of the sea tossed to and from. The double-minded person believes in God, which takes him in one direction, so imagine, but he also has confidence in a worldly answer or a fleshly answer or a self-driven answer, which takes me in the opposite direction. So I believe God can solve it. I need to fix it myself. I believe God can solve it. I need to go find somebody to fix the problem. Do you see the waves back and forth, right? Up and down, thrown back and forth by the wind. And so will God answer our prayer for wisdom? Yes, but then James says it's countered by the double-minded man with something like, God is not going to answer my prayer. God will answer my prayer. God, I trust that you're going to do this. God, I have to figure it out on my own. So what a single-minded faith does, so that's a double-minded faith. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here. I'll show you a math problem on the screen quickly. We all know that 1 times 0 is what? 0. Believing that God can answer my prayer, but doubting that God will answer my prayer is like 1 times 0. It's still considered doubting, right? I believe enough to ask God for something, but I doubt in a way that God isn't going to solve it. It's still considered doubting. And so we need to be single-minded in our faith. And that single-mindedness does this reinforced loop emotionally, physically, spiritually, where of reasoning. I'm going to go to God. I trust that God will answer. I see that God answers. It's just one. I'm not going to rock back and forth. And so if a believer asks for wisdom to trust God, that it's wise to rejoice in our difficult circumstances, and we ask in faith without doubting, the believer is actually choosing to believe God's way over their way, right? I'm choosing to believe God's way is best for me. And that naturally then will cause us or lead us to believe that God has provision for us in that circumstance. He'll have adequately meet our needs in those circumstances, as well as believing that God's reward is a true reward. Additionally, here's the thing that we have to be careful about being double-minded, even in this asking God for wisdom. Because being double-minded is not just a one-off issue. It's kind of this kind of double vision will invade and it disrupts our whole life. The double-minded, according to James, is not just unstable in that trial. It says he's unstable in all his ways. And so if we're living parts of our life, God, I trust you and I believe you and I want to ask you for this, and we live part of the day, God, I don't believe, I'm going to try to fix it on my own. We are not just unstable in that situation. James says he's unstable in all his ways. Learning to rejoice in any circumstance will lead us to a complete stability. Think about that. And it makes logical sense, because if we view every circumstance that we come through in life, good circumstances, bad circumstances, tough circumstances, easy circumstances, there should be no circumstance that can ever shake us when we have the wisdom of God. And if we view it that way, then we are stable in all our ways. God is generous, and he will give us the wisdom we need to rejoice in trials. But he will not honor that prayer of the double-minded man who's constantly looking for answers apart from the character of God and his ways. It made me think today as I was going over my notes, Camden. He goes to my wife, can I have some sugar? He wants a sweet at 10 or 8 o'clock at night right before bed. And we know that's not going to work. That's just not a wise thing to do. She says, nope, no sugar before you go to bed. So what does he do? He sneaks out into the other room where I'm at and he whispers, can I have some sugar? Because he knows if she hears me, he's not trusting her wisdom. He's looking for an answer that meets his needs. And so our single-mindedness, we both don't give him sugar at 8 o'clock at night. And then he gets scolded for going from person to person to person. But many of us, as believers, we're so double-minded. Well, I'll go to God for this. Well, I don't like that answer. I'll go to the church for this. I don't like that answer. I'll go to the counselor. And we go all over the place trying to solve our problems instead of just going to God. The solution, again, to finding true wisdom is found in just asking the Lord, believing in his ways, and believing that they're for our benefit. So the double-minded person has at least one foot sometimes in the world. I want to try the world's ways. I want the rewards of the world. I want the rewards of the flesh. You know, Jesus says that we can't serve God and mammon, right? We can't gain the rewards of the world as well as trusting God. If I want to gain the rewards of God, James will tell us later in chapter 1, such as the crown of life, it requires us to seek the things of God. It requires us to trust the things of God. It requires us to walk in ongoing walk of faith. So finally, James says that wisdom is refused by not only the unbelieving man, the uncertain man, but also the unsuccessful man. So again, why should we come to James and ask for wisdom? Why is faith necessary in that request? James says in verse 7, for let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. What man, I'm almost done, is James talking about, who will not receive anything from the Lord? So let's put 5, 6, 7, 8 up all at once. So let's read this whole passage again. I don't have that in my notes for him. So again, if any of you lacks wisdom, lacking that wisdom on how to have joy during our circumstances, let him ask God. Let him ask God in a way that's craving, begging, desiring, deep down. Ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. God will not scold you and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by wind. Verse 7, for let not a man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. So if we come to God with doubting, if we come to him with that double-mindedness like the sea, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. One more. Oh, that's it. Never mind. He is unstable in all his ways. I was anxious to read more, right? So what he's saying in verse 7, in a sense, he's pulling verse 6 and 8 together. So what man is he talking about that shouldn't receive, that won't receive anything from the Lord? He's talking about that man who's double-minded. He's talking about that man who comes with unbelief. He's talking about the man who comes with uncertainty. And because that man has unbelief and uncertainty, it's saying he will not be successful. He will not receive from the Lord because he's failing to meet some minor conditions or great conditions of having his request for wisdom granted. If you lack wisdom, ask without doubting. I'm going to have you stand if you would. Amen. You know, as we just are into the new year, I don't know why this time of year, you know, when I talk to other pastors, and people that I don't see very often, they're always asking, you know, right around New Year, how can I pray for you this year, right? What do you need from God this year? And my common response is that I have God's wisdom. You know, I could pray for our sanctuary to be full. I could pray for our banks to be full and overflowing. I could pray for all kinds of things, but my answer is usually God's wisdom, that God would give me wisdom to get through and to help and to do whatever I can. And I've learned over the years that when God gives me wisdom, I'm never disappointed. Amen? You know, I can tell you that a full sanctuary is not necessarily going to meet all of our needs. Sometimes there's problems, as we know, that come with a full sanctuary, right? But God's wisdom will never disappoint us. And so tonight, if you're here, if you're online and you're facing a trial or facing an important decision or facing a struggle, then you need to ask God for the wisdom that's already yours, because he says he'll give it to you. If you're lacking joy through a trial, you're lacking the wisdom of God in that trial. And so ask of God and he will give it to you liberally, and he won't reproach or upbraid you, right? He won't lecture you. He won't scold you. And if you ask, I promise that you will not be disappointed when you receive the wisdom of God. Amen? Let's pray. So Lord God, we thank you as we go through just these few verses in the last 2 weeks in James, Lord, learning that we're to count it all joy. We're to look beyond the trial, and we're to see the result that you have for us in that trial, the plan that you're going to unfold. And Lord, count it all joy when we face various trials. Lord, and so we know that it's not a matter of if we're going to face trials, but when we're going to face trials. And James continues tonight by telling us, Lord, if we lack wisdom and how to have that joy through that trial, that we're to come to you and we're to ask you. And Lord, not just ask verbally, but have a strong desire in our heart, have a desire of our being, Lord, to say, God, I need that wisdom. That's what's going to get me through. And Lord, you'll give to us the wisdom that we need to see beyond this trial, to help through this trial, to help us through this trial, to help us see the purpose of this trial, Lord, and you'll give that to us freely and abundantly and, Lord, without reproach. And so, God, I thank you that you're that kind of God, that the wisdom that you give us, Lord, is a gift from you, and you give that liberally like you do all your gifts. God, help us tonight to not be that double-minded man. Help us to not come to you, Lord, with one foot saying, God, I need this from you, and another foot saying, yeah, but I don't think you're going to give it to me. Or God, I need this wisdom from you, but I'm going to go try to solve this my way. Or God, I need this wisdom from you, I'm going to go over here and use this worldly approach to solve this problem. Lord, but we come to you without doubting. We come to you, Lord, with a single heart focus, not a double-minded focus. And God, I thank you that Scripture tells us it will be given to us. God, I thank you again for all that you've given to us. Lord, your plan of salvation, the salvation you've given us through Jesus is so perfect, Lord, that he gave his life for each one of us. Lord, I thank you that you are for us and you're not against us. Lord, I thank you that even though there's times life doesn't make sense to us, Lord, you already see the beginning from the end. You already know how you're going to use that circumstance to work in our lives, to draw us closer to you, to help us grow in you. So God, let us trust you fully. Let us come to you without doubting. Let us come to you with a single-minded focus, not that double heart. So God, I thank you that you honor that, Lord, and you bless us for that. So God, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you with that longing heart, as we sang about earlier, my soul longs for you. Lord, my soul longs for your wisdom. That's that word ask tonight. So we thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.